1. Well, there's a story about a waiter. He's working in the restaurant, and it was a busy night, maybe a Friday night. So he's busy doing his job, and then the owner came out from the kitchen and in a sense of urgency, told him that, we are in trouble. We are out of quarters. And the customers are waiting, and go next door. Next door is because they have a grocery store beside their restaurant, and get me $30 worth of quarters. So this guy, this waiter, heard that, well, they need quarters. So he ran out to the next door, the grocery store. I'm not sure how many of you have tried, but if you try to get some quarters, they might not give it to you because they need those quarters too. So the cashier will not give it to him. Well, I mean, exchange, right? So he, being a good waiter, employee, so, well, grocery store doesn't work. Maybe let's just go to the gas station. So he ran to the gas station a little bit down the road, and then the guy was nice to him and gave him 4 rows of quarters. So after 20 minutes of, you know, running around, eventually he went back to the restaurant with the quarters. And the owner looking at him, he was kind of shocked. After 20 minutes, all he got was 4 rows of quarters. He said, actually, I'm asking you to get chicken quarters. Well, in Canada, we call it what? Quarter chickens. But maybe I think this is the States, so they call it quarter chickens, chicken quarters, or whatever. So you see, this is called communication in what? Confusion. The guy heard quarters, so he thought it was money, but the owner actually was talking about quarter chicken. And it happens to us all the time in terms of communications. Without clear communications, people often get the message wrong or confused. It happens to all of us. Amazing, huh? It happens to all of us. And almost in every relationship we have, the people that we relate, we always get confused or get upset because of the confusing communications. So in a church setting, in a church community, we use all kinds of terms. And one of those terms, you know, actually two, religion and the gospel are often spoken in the church. You know, gospel, religion, you know, all kinds of these terms that we are using at church. And sometimes we are not sure how many actually know the basic meaning of these terms, religion and the gospel. And today, can I show the PowerPoint one? So what are the basic meaning? One of my elders, actually Dave, gave me a book to read recently, Center Church. Tim Kelly wrote that book. And I don't know why he gave it to me to read, because he may think that I'm confused with the gospel. So he asked me to read it. Make sure the pastor knows what it means. So I was reading the book, and it was just amazing to just go back to the simple ideas. And a lot of time when you, being a Christian for so long, a lot of time you already forgot about all those basic stuff. So in Kelly's books, he mentioned all these terms. Very simple. But I want you to read it and look at it, and let's read it together. How about that? Religion. Let's read. Religion, I obey, therefore I am accepted. Gospel, I am accepted by God through Christ, therefore I obey. Well, it's a very simple definition or a very simple sentence. But if you look at it, I believe it carries an extensive implication and applications. It's a very deep, if you look at it, those simple words, because it actually expresses our attitude and our lifestyle. When you look at these two statements, in next few weeks, I hope that we will, next few times, because I won't be here for a while. And then maybe next time, I would say the next few times, we will go into revisit the meaning of the gospel, the implication, the application, And let's look, read this and look at it and study it together the next few times. And as a Christians, I think it's very important for us to get to know this. As I say, I hope you will remember this. If you cannot remember, write it down. And I will try to remind you again, because it is a very heavy statement, because it actually dictates how we live our lives and how we respond to God and how you serve God in the church or at home. You have to really look into yourself and see your motivation and what drives you to do all these things. And these two little statements actually wrap up all these things. Very important. I obey, therefore I am accepted. We will expand all these implications and application later on. I'm accepted by God through Christ, therefore I obey. And the slide two. We have two ways to respond to God. Tim Kelly suggested we have two ways to respond to God, and if you look at it, either you follow or reject, of course. And even in the reject him, that category, he suggested we have two ways to reject him. You can reject God. We call those people what? Non-believers. You can reject God by rejecting his law and living any way you see fit. The second one, I think that is the problem. You can also reject God by embracing and obeying God's law so as to earn your salvation. You don't go back to this one. I obey, therefore I am accepted. A lot of us, maybe, I hope not, but according to Tim Kelly, he said maybe half of the people coming to church, sitting in the pews right here, and been in the church for more than 10 or 15, 20 years, they are in the category to under reject him. You can also reject God by embracing and obeying God's law so as to earn your salvation. You are rejecting God because you actually try to earn your salvation, earn your way to heaven by doing all kinds of things, just like this one. I obey, therefore I am accepted. Actually, you are practicing religion, not accepting the gospel, the true meaning of the gospel. So these are the things that we are going to, from here we launch, and we're going to study the meaning of the gospel. And I think when it comes to the meaning of the gospel, and there are two books that are really stand out in the New Testament. Which are the two books? The first one, of course, the Romans. The second one is the Galatians. And I pick Galatians because I believe we struggle here in this book. The religion and the gospel people, the Christians, sitting in the church. And I think this is the book that we are going to study in the next few times as well. So I hope you study this, think about it. Might not be right now because you might still kind of half asleep. But I hope that you write it down, you go home, you think about this. If you think, oh, it's too much, maybe you should buy the book. Send the church to read it and see how Tim Kelly approached this topic, the gospel. So I hope this today we're going to start to read this together, study this together. Either you are following him, call it category number one, or most of us falls into follow him, or you can also reject God by embracing and obeying God's law. And I think many of us are struggling between these two or confused where you are at. Are you following him because of the gospel, or you are just practicing religion in a church? Okay, let's study this together. The gospel. And Paul talks about this, and Barnard has done the research, and I want to share with you, and he asked a lot of people about the meaning of the gospel. I read you the meaning from his research. The perspective that salvation is available only through the sacrificial death and subsequent resurrection of Jesus Christ and a person's acceptance of Christ as their Savior. That's his definition. He used this to ask people or try to get people to agree with this statement. Let me read it again. The perspective that salvation is available only through the sacrificial death and subsequent resurrection of Jesus Christ and a person, you and I, acceptance of Christ as their Savior. You know how many people get that in the States? 37% can say that, can express the statement and all the components in this statement. 37% of the Americans can relate to that, I'll say that. And another 34% have added something or deleted something of that statement, missing some items in that statement. How about Christians? That 37% is just Americans. Only 60% of Christians can get it right. Only 60% of Christians can get this right. 40% of us sitting here, that means, might not get the true meaning of the gospel. Isn't it scary? In the past 30 years, there has been a proliferation of new gospel in the Western world. I'm sure you know that New Age, Star Wars, I think it's, you know Star Wars, right? How many of you have not watched Star Wars? Star Wars is a New Age production. Force, may the Force be with you. All these things. Those are New Age stuff, man. Be careful. And all these religions, New Age stuff, is all from the East. Like Hinduism, talk about all these things, and we have to be very careful. And all these so-called religions is actually misdirecting you and I from the only truth and the only salvation that can save us and from our sins. And this basically, all these religions, you heard it before, and we are also under this category by a lot of people name us Christianity. We are just a religion trying to get people to do good, to be good, so that what? Somehow we can earn favor from God, and someday even you can become a God. Right? I obey, therefore I am accepted. I am obeyed, therefore I am accepted. So be good. I obey. And all the religions tell us to be good. When you are good, you'll be okay. When you are good, you will be accepted. So you will see this is a very true stuff in our lives. And if you look at the book of Galatians, and Paul says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Brothers and sisters, watch out, because this book warns us that false teachers are inevitable, and Paul already warned them in the book of Acts and into those churches. False teachers will be coming in his time and in our time. New Age is one of them. Penetration to the church. Many of us have watched movie like that, getting a message indirectly about all these religions and what they believe, and they try to tell us, you know, be good, doing all these things, and the Force will help you, and the Force is not a person, all these things. And we have to be very, very careful. And Paul says that he was astonished, bewildered by the fact that church was so easily misled by all these false teachers. And that was the point, not the false teachers. He was not shocked by false teachers. He was shocked that the church was so easily being misled. And I think that was the problem. And that will be our problem today even. And the first point I want to share with you today is to understanding the gospel. So we need to understand what the gospel is so that we can stand firm and understand what you truly believe. Are you really saved by the gospel, or you are just practicing religion in a church setting for many, many, many years? So what really is the gospel? What does the gospel mean? For those who are growing up in the church, if I ask you what that term means, many of you can tell me right away, it means what? Good news. The term gospel means the good news. Good news is easier to understand. Good news. Still, what does it mean, the good news? The news that is good? right? It's a good news. So the news is a good news. It's something about good, right? Is it true? How many of you watch news every day? Not every day, maybe once a week. Every day? Once a month? Or who cares? So when you watch news or you're listening to news, how do they communicate with you? The news reporter, or the, you know, you turn on the TV at 6 o'clock, TV news, do they dance out the news? Do they add out the news? What do they tell? What do they do? They speak. They use words to communicate with you about the news, or talk to you of the news. While you know, YouTube, you might see people actually add out the news, you know. I don't know. But most of the news reporters, they speak. They use words. And news need to be announced. And the gospel, consider, and it is good news, that means what? It has to be spoken. Romans chapter 10, verse 16, 17. But not all the Israelites accept the good news. For Israel says, Isaiah says, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word about Christ. The message has to be spoken, just like news. Therefore, brothers and sisters, I hope you will not buy into a concept that, you know, we can just leave out the message. Somehow people will get it. If I'm good, if I'm doing well, if I at home, in workplace, I'm just be a good person, somehow people will get that. I'm a Christian, you know, the gospel and all these things. Of course, you will say, no, we have to be good in order to have an opportunity to share the gospel. I agree with that. But a lot of us would rather take this easy way, which is just live out the gospel. But the gospel has to be preached because it's news. It's about the past. All the news that you hear every day is already past. Even 10 minutes ago, breaking news. Something already happened. Even 2 seconds ago is still a past. And history, how do we treat histories? A lot of people do not like history. How many of you study history in elementary school, high school, or even universities? A lot of us find history boring because there's nothing we can do about it. You're just learning something about the past. And those people, what happened, and why do I need to know? Sometimes people will say. But how many of you would dare to say that, you know, our cultures, languages, and values have nothing to do with histories? You're sitting here today. Your values, your belief, this society you're living in are all impacted by history. And history is what? Something in the past. News, good news. So it is good news, like history, regarding what happened in the past. It is not a code of ethic for debate. Tim Carey said that. It is not a saying to be admired. It is not systematic theology to be studied. It is just a simple news. Something already happened. So we do not need to, brothers and sisters, you can relax, I can relax, because we are not expected to create another storyline or make it so interesting to impress people. It's a good news. It's already happened. Our job is to announce, speak, use our words, talk about what happened in the past. And we are not expected to create another storyline and try to make it very interesting by adding a lot of unnecessary stuff. We do that all the time. We call it what? Rumors. Or try to make it, you know, interesting stories about other people's lives. But the gospel is news. It's a fact. We don't need to try to create something more. And this is the problem of the church. Back to this book, chapter 1. And the false teachers come. And they tell the people, they tell the church, wow, Jesus Christ, wonderful, man. You accepted him? Great. But there's something we need to do. But there's something we need to do, brothers and sisters. You accepted Christ? Yes. You want to go to heaven? Wonderful. How about doing this? How about following the law of Moses? How about ceremonies? Those are important because we do those things for a few thousand years, so it's important. So you accepted Jesus Christ? We do, but we also practice Judaism. Those are so many good things in it. So today, we may use the other terms. Accepted Christ, wonderful man. But you need to come to Sunday school. You need to serve God. It's so easy we fall into the same trap. Adding something to the gospel. A lot of people turn us down when they come to church. They have no problem to accept Christ. You know what happened? In the last many years, I observed, I grew up in the church. People left the church not soon after they became a Christian because it's too much to do. They did not know that. They did not know that, you know, accepting Christ means my weekend is gone. It's very dangerous for us to put something on top of the grace that we receive when we accepted Jesus Christ. It's so easy that we put something on top to give the impression that accepting Christ is not enough. We need to do something. And this falls into our nature, though. Brothers and sisters, we love this because we believe we have to earn something. We're building in our, I don't know, being a human. We have to do something to earn something. So if you tell me that, you know, accepting Christ is a good thing, yeah, it's a good start, then you tell me I have to do something, it's wonderful. You fit into my system. And a lot of people struggle with that. Asking them, you know, the gospel only. They have struggled with that. Telling them, you know, they don't need to earn it. They don't need to do something to please God afterwards. All these things just to make sure I will be accepted. I am accepted. I obey, therefore I am accepted. It's so hard not to do this. It's so easy to fall into this religion stuff. Because it just fits into our mentality, the way we are wired, the way we were taught. The society expressed this to us. You just have to do something to earn something. Without doing anything, we feel uneasy. We feel unsafe, insecure, because we don't really believe the gospel, or we don't really understand the true meaning of the gospel. And Paul says that this is a distorted gospel. The word distort means a transform into something of an opposite character. Even though it looks very similar, the packaging is very similar. You know, the gospel, Jesus Christ, saved. You know, he died on the cross. You are saved because of him. But you need to do something else to attach to it. It looks okay. Majority of the percentage of the package looks great, similar, but there's a distorted gospel. You will transform into something totally opposite. And that is the meaning of that word, distorted. And Paul says he's shocked. And then he condemned those people. Brothers and sisters, it's very heavy message. You know, you don't see Paul saying something like that all the time, but it's just how important it is for us to understand the true meaning of the gospel. And he is really very jealous about this, because God doesn't want us to seem to earn the salvation but lose it at the same time. Another gospel, verse 6 and 7. If you read verse 6 and 7, and Paul carefully used another Greek word, and other. The Greek word means another of a different kind. There's a Greek word for another, which means another of the same kind. And Paul and Jesus used that to describe the Holy Spirit in the book of John. But here, Paul used another word, another in Greek, meaning another of a different kind. There's only one gospel, brothers and sisters. It's a good news, need to be announced. You and I have to speak, to tell people. And we do not have to make it funny, interesting, because we are not supposed to. The message of the gospel, point two. The message of the gospel. In verse 8, Paul invokes a curse on anyone, as I said, including himself. If somebody is going to distort the gospel, and he's very upset about this, he's very coming in very strong attitude, determination, and he tells people that he's going to curse anyone, and anyone who give you the wrong message, if you receive it, same, and both will be cursed. And the word in Greek, allow me to use it, I'm not trying to swear, but this is the true word in the Greek. You will be damned. And it's a stronger word than just being cursed. Every single individual will be damned, separate from God in eternal punish. It's not a discipline issue. It's much stronger than that. It means a separation from God. If you're preaching the wrong gospel, brothers and sisters, and it's a well, I don't want to scare you and say, okay, that means, Pastor, I'm not going to share the gospel because I don't want to be damned. But can you look at another way? Learn it. Truly understand the message of the gospel so that you can share with other people with confidence. Modern days, there's all kinds of gospel these days. I'm sure you have heard that. Maybe some of you, if you love to surf the web, you have heard something called the gospel of success, the prosperity gospel. There's a church in the States. A lot of people goes there because it teaches that gospel. The gospel, it says that, you know, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be successful. God guarantees you will be successful. You will be rich. So a lot of rich Christians go there. If you have not heard that church, you should go to a website. Not now, I mean, go and search. It's a very powerful church now. A lot of rich Christians go there. A lot of successful Christians go there. A lot of wanting to be successful goes there because this is exactly fit into this world that we are longing for. And watch out those gospel, brothers and sisters. So what's the true message of the gospel? What's the true message of the gospel? The message is that we have been rescued. Part one, the message is that we have been rescued. We have heard that before. We often refer to the fact that we are rescued, what? From the bondage of sin and the power of Satan. You heard that many, many, many times. But I want you to see one step further. Ultimately, we are rescued. Listen, we are rescued from the wrath, the anger of God. We are rescued from the anger, the wrath of God. Sins, just make sure we'll be there when wrath of God comes. We are rescued from the anger of God. Wow, you put God, in such a bad position, right? Oh, I thought God is always loving, you know? That is another lie that you may buy, you have bought into. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and 32. If you have time, read this. Write it down, verse 18 to 32. It talks about the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godliness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. The wrath of God is being revealed. And then if you read chapter 1, verses 18 to 32, you will see how people respond to God, and God was so upset, and then God is going to judge them, and the result of sins are described in these verses, verses 18 to 32. Often we use the term judgment of God instead. But actually, if you read this carefully, the wrath of God is real. It's in the Bible. And we are saved, we are rescued. Ultimately, it's from the wrath of God, the judgment of God. The bondage of sin, as I said, just make sure we will be there when the wrath of God is revealed. Satan wants us to be there so that we will be destroyed for eternity. Because we are the enemy of God, because we have sinned against him. So the ultimate rescue is from the wrath of God. Because he is the final judge. We all know that. Not Satan. We are not pleasing Satan. We are not trying to run away from him. And so afraid of him that he is going to destroy us. The ultimate destruction actually is from God because he is the holy God. So we have to get this concept right. I know it might make you feel uneasy about your concept of God, but this is true. We are rescued from the wrath of God. If you have time, read Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32. It's the background. If you want to know, the background is actually from Genesis chapter 3. The fall of man, Adam and Eve, and God's curse has come to the world, to all the creation, including us, of course, and the natures. So in Genesis chapter 3, you will see that we are alienated with God, and then from him, with him, and then we are from one another. We're separated from one another, too. And we are alienated from God's creation. So it's all broken. All broken relationships started from the first relationship, which was what? Our relationship with God. After that, horizontally, our relationship was broken. Our relationship with the creation was damaged. Look at us, how we abuse the nature. Global warming. It's all the result of what? A bad management of the creations. Part two, the message. We have rescued from the wrath of God. But there's another half of the message. The message is about what has been done by Jesus Christ to amend a broken relationship between God and humanity. The message first tells us that, you know, we are rescued from the wrath of God. That's the judgment of God. And then how can it be done? The message tells us that it has been done by Jesus Christ who amended this broken relationship between God and humanity. In North America, we believe in freedom of religions. In school, we are taught we have to respect each other. We are taught, you know, all the religions are equal, and we have to have what? Freedom of religion in the Western world. But I want you to understand that there's a freedom to worship doesn't mean that all religions are same. We have freedom to worship does not mean that all religions are the same. There's only one true gospel. All the religions are same. You can say that if you use the definition number one. But we are different because we believe in the gospel. John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus was talking. So I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, you know that one really well. No one is there. Salvation in any other, for no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And Peter was talking about the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one the message. We have been rescued from the wrath of God through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am accepted by God through Christ. Therefore, I obey. I want you to get this right. Many of you have grown up in a church. I hope our church is not selling you the religion. I hope our church is not teaching you the religion of Christianity. There's no such thing. Some people say Christianity is just religion. Using this definition, it's not. We are not religion. I'm accepted. Let's read it together. Gospel. Because I want you to remember this. Let's read it together. I am accepted by God through Christ. Therefore, I obey. I'm accepted by God through Christ. Therefore, I obey. Let's pray together. Our God in heaven, we want to give you thanks for sending your Son to die on the cross on our behalf. Through Jesus Christ, indeed, we are rescued from the ultimate judgment of God. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful rescue. Our response is to believe Jesus Christ, accept him as our Savior. Nothing else. We are not going to add anything into this formula. Lord, we pray that as a church, we have to be very, very careful how to teach, how to help our brothers and sisters to understand, to accept the true gospel. Lord, we pray that we will never get into teaching religion to our people. Lord, we pray that as we come to this church, some of us have been living or practicing religion. Lord, we pray that this message, the book of Galatians, will help us to truly understand where we are at and where we should go and what need to be our faith and our belief. Pray that we will truly come to our Lord Jesus Christ because of what he has done for us. He has completed everything in the gospel, in this salvation. Lord, we pray that we will just gladly believe and accept your gifts, our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that we will truly become your followers, not followers of religion. Lord, we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.